Okay, we are in book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. If you remember, we finished first 7 verses. We are going to start from verse 8.
For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despair even of life.
Here St. Paul is trying to tell this church of Corinth, whatever the trouble and trial came to him, he said, I do not want you to be ignorant, means not knowing anything. There are so many people when they have some problems, even though God gave them victory over that problems, they don't want to share with anyone. If someone had a sickness or disease, incurable, and God healed that person doesn't want to share with somebody because they think if I tell them, they may not have a communication with me or maybe they would not like me. Somebody says, how come? I'll give you an example. Just think there was a young girl, had a tuberculosis or had a cancer and God healed her. You know what? If she is not married, and if she tells this story to somebody, they do not want their son to marry that girl who has the sickness or disease. Maybe she would have again or something like that. So those people will not tell anybody what God has done. When you do that, you are not glorifying God. When God heals somebody, he doesn't heal for a temporary basis. He heals forever. But then why people get sickness and disease and getting problems? Why? Because they do not testify and tell somebody what God has done. I have seen many times when people try to hide their problems, that's the time they get into trouble. But when God has done something, St. Paul is saying, I do not want you to be ignorant what happened to me. That means I'm not going to hide these things, what trials and tribulations and problem I went through. Now he's trying to say, this problem was not ordinary problem when Paul was traveling. He had lots of problems. Let's read the verse 9.
But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth.
The problem was not ordinary problem. The problem was just like they were going to die. He says this kind of situation we were in. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 14 and verse 19 and 20.
And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, threw him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Albeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe.
Now from this we know, they stoned Paul, drag him out of the city, threw him out like he is a dead man, and that's the time St. Paul is saying, my life was completely in danger, and we were almost like a dead people. But the people stood around him, they were not just standing. They might have prayed for him. They might be crying to God. And God raised him from that situation. And the word of God says, right away, he went on a mission journey. And so St. Paul is saying, I do not want you people to be ignorant that nothing happened to me. I am telling this from my experience. You remember last week we learned, all the trials and tribulation comes to the child of God. So when God delivers you from those problems, you should be able to comfort others. That's what we go through all these trials. That's why St. Paul is saying, I don't want you to be ignorant what happened to me. And he says, God saved me and raised me. I was dead. And so he said, I know God can do this. Many people do not know our God is a miracle working God. Amen. They believe that doctor can do miracles, but they do not believe God because they have no experience with God. St. Paul says, I have the experience with God. That's what I'm telling you. Now think about Abraham. I'm giving an example. Abraham was a very old man. When God told him that you are going to have a son, he almost started thinking, I have already Ishmael, because now my wife is very old and her womb is dead. And I am also old. But when God's message came to him, he believed in his spirit that God is able to resurrect or give life to my wife's womb. And he can give me a new energy and strength so I can have a child. And that's what we're reading in the book of Genesis. But the point I'm making, Abraham believed that God is able to give life to dead womb. That's the point. You have to believe when our situation looks like dead and nothing is going to come out of this. But our God is not dead. Amen. And as long as we are alive and God is alive, he can resurrect the people who are spiritually dead. And then another situation we see, Abraham's son was almost 17 years old. And that's the time Abraham spent more time with his son, maybe playing and maybe teaching him all the things what he knew. And he had very less time with God. So God says, okay, Abraham, now you sacrifice your son to me. If Abraham start thinking, my God doesn't allow human sacrifices. The heathen, they do. Why are you telling me these heathen people do that? How can I know that God is speaking to me? But he believed God. How? He said, the God gave me son from the lady who had the dead womb. The same God can do a miracle and raise this boy from that ashes. That's what he believed. Go to the Genesis chapter 22 and start reading from verse 4 to 12.
Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off.
Abraham is now walking with his son 3 days' journey. Abraham took his young son, took the wood, put that wood in son's shoulder, and now he took two more his servants. Now 4 people are going, and now this is third day. And he's seeing that place where he's going to sacrifice his son.
And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you.
Okay, now what Abraham is saying here, to other young servants, he said, you stay right here, bottom of the mountain. Myself, my son, we are going to go and do some sacrifice. Worship the Lord. And what he says? And we will come back again. So he did not say in his mind, I'm going to sacrifice Isaac. And I'll be coming back myself. But he says what?
We
will come back. Amen. So he believed in his heart that even though I sacrifice Isaac on that altar, God will raise my son from the ashes. That's what the faith was. Let's read up to the 12.
And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together.
Now see here, Abraham knew purposely that I'm going to sacrifice my son. When son asked him, we have the firewood, we have the fire, where is the lamb? What did he say? God will provide himself a lamb. So he himself provide a lamb. So he said, okay, we'll go and God will provide. That calls faith. You have to believe the things you never even see it, but you believe that you received it. Just like we read in the book of Mark chapter 11. And when we read the verse, starting verse from 22 or so, he says, have faith in God. And then what he said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, if you don't doubt, whatever you said, it will come to pass. And so we have to believe if our God says something, it will happen. God did not tell Abraham, you take your son and before you sacrifice, I will give the lamb. He didn't say that. He just said, take your son and sacrifice. So he believed in his heart and he went there and the word of God says, God provided. Okay.
They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood.
The young man, he could kick his father, he could punch him and run away, or he could say, let me sacrifice you and I am going to get out of here. But he was obedient son. He believed what father was saying. I think father told him so many things. And he believed his God is a real God. The same God will provide the lamb, what my dad said. And so he didn't say a word. Can you find a son or daughter today like this?
And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me.
The Lord says, Don't harm your son, because now I know that you love me. And what he says, you gave your only son. Somebody said, oh, he had other son. But that son was not a promised son. Isaac was the promised one. Ishmael was already left. And he had only one son remaining. And he was able to sacrifice his son in his heart. So God saw his heart just like he's already sacrificed his son in the sight of God. And then we don't have to read the whole story. Then he found the lamb and he sacrificed. And according to what he said, both of them came as he said. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and see what the word of God is saying. Abraham believed in his heart what he was doing and what God was going to do. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 19.
By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure.
So see what he believed? He believed if I sacrifice my son, and even if he died, God will raise him from the dead. And he saw like a vision, just like a sacrificing his son and son coming out of the ashes. So that's the kind of faith St. Paul said, I had. Let's go back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now please read 9 and 10 together.
But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raised the dead.
He said, we had this kind of situation, but we did not believe that we are going to die and we are going to perish. But we believed, just like Abraham believed, my son will die, I will kill him, we will burn him, but he will come out of the ashes. And that's the same faith, he said, I had, that God is going to raise us from the dead. Verse 10.
Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
Amen. So what he's trying to say, the God delivered me from the death. Same God, I believe, even the another situation comes and somebody tried to kill me again, my same God will deliver me again. Now somebody say, oh, he did it once, he cannot do it again. Our God is not a dead God. We have to believe that our God is alive and he is doing miracles today. Many people do not believe that God is doing miracles today. They said, oh, Jesus Christ did miracles when he was on this earth, but now he's gone, he cannot do it again. And then you say, but the apostles did. Oh, they did because they were with Jesus Christ, but now Jesus is not here, so we do not have that power. We cannot do it. What the word of God is saying? Book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, what he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is same yesterday. That means our God is, he is not was God. Means if you say my God was, that means your God is not here today.
He said I am.
Yes, he said I am. That means he is ever present.
Yes.
So the Jesus Christ is yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchangeable God. Only God never changes. He is the same. So he did miracle then, he can do miracle today. And he can do miracle tomorrow. Why? Because he is not dead.
Amen.
And somebody says, don't you know your God is dead? Jesus Christ was dead. Go and read the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. Jesus Christ says, I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore.
Amen.
Do you know when he came out of the grave, Roman soldiers were watching and guarding the tomb, and there was not one but many. But when Jesus Christ came out of the grave, nobody had power to kill him or arrest him. Why? Because they were fallen on the ground like a dead man. 40 days he showed himself for so many people, and they saw him personally, but not a single person was able to arrest and kill Jesus Christ again. What that shows us, our God is alive.
Amen.
And he's a powerful God.
Amen.
That's why St. Paul says, we were dead, physically dead. We had no hope that we will be coming out of this problem, but we knew one thing, our God is able to raise us from the dead. And he says, not only one time, this happened again, he can do it again. Our God is ever present. He never lost the power. He healed you then, he can heal you again.
Amen.
I'll give an example. One lady came here. She could not have children. They might have gone to doctor, check up, husband, wife, both of them. They say, you cannot have children. So they cannot now divorce because she cannot have and I cannot have. So they are together. And I told her, come to church. She came to church on the Christmas Eve. And I was preaching. I said, how Mary became pregnant? She believed the word and said, let it be according to your word. And she became pregnant instantly. And you should believe that God is able to make you pregnant and you will have a child. That lady believed, I prayed, and she got a son. You dedicate your son to the Lord. And she did. She wanted another child. That time, she left the church. She went to bigger church and now she wants another child. She goes to the pastor. Pastor, I could not have children. Pastor Peter prayed for me and I got this son. Now, could you please pray for me so I could have another child? But she was too ashamed to call Pastor Peter. Pastor Peter, could you please pray for me? Now I need another daughter or son. I would have said, doesn't matter, even if she goes to another church. I told them where to go. So I was not mad, but she was embarrassed to call me for prayer. So she goes to the pastor. The pastor doesn't have faith like what Pastor Peter had. So the pastor tells her, why don't you take some medicine? There are advanced technology now. You can take some medicine. You can have a child. She goes and asks the husband. Husband agreed with the pastor. So husband said, let's go and take some medicine so you can have a children. So she went, took some medicine, and she got miscarriage. When she got miscarriage, she got so much afraid and so much worried, and she called me. She was crying. I said, what happened? She said, you know, I went to the pastor, my husband agreed, and this is what happened. I said, how did the first son came? You went to the doctor, your husband went to the doctor, and they said you cannot have children. Who gave it to you? Jesus gave it to you. So what? Jesus cannot give another one? So I prayed for her. And now she has another daughter. What I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say that God is able to do it. If he did it before, he can do it again. One lady was near our church. We used to have another church there. She came to me. She said, Pastor Peter, I have a 13 years old daughter. After that, I don't have any children. And I'm praying and everything, and I'm not having any children. I said, sister, you came to the right place. I'm going to pray for you, and God is going to give children, not a child, children. And I prayed for her. And I said, now you know what? Get ready. The baby is coming. So she started making booties and made a separate room for the baby and start getting ready. And one day she might have gone to hospital checkup. She found out she's pregnant. And so I was so happy. Before the child comes, she went to Texas. But I knew her girlfriend. I called her girlfriend and I said, I want to know what happened to your girlfriend. She called me for prayer. She said, Pastor Peter, this was many years later. She said she had so many children and I lost track of it. Means every year she will have a child. She's a nurse. She said, I lost track. What I'm trying to say, if God did it before, he can do it again. Amen. That's what you have to believe. That's why St. Paul is saying, I believe that God delivered me from the death, and I believe he will do it again. Amen. That's what you have to believe. You cannot say, once I got prayed for, and now I got the same problem, devil will bring the same situation again. God is able to do it again. Not for one day, but for what? For life. What I'm trying to say, once you believe that God did it before, you believe that he is going to do it again.
Amen.
But if you allow devil to ruin your life, he can bring all kinds of doubt, all kinds of fear, all kinds of anxiety. Once you believe that God has done something for you, then what you do? You should not be afraid of anything. The devil comes like what? Roaring lion. Is he a lion? No. Like a lion. He's not a lion. But what the word of God says, resist the devil and what? He will flee from you. We don't have to run from the devil. We have to put devil to flight. So the St. Paul is saying, God has delivered me and he will deliver me again. That's what his faith is. Let's go to the 2 Peter 2:9.
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished.
What God knows? He says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation or the out of trials or out of the tribulation or out of the sickness or disease or any problem in you going through. He says what? The Lord knows how to deliver. You know how to teach God how to heal me. He is the one who created mankind. If anything wrong with our body, He knows it because He created. God wants our body as a temple of God to serve Him. So that's why God said, I know how to deliver you, how to heal you, and how to make you good. Then somebody said, this is poison, but your word says, if you drink any deadly poison or thing, it will not harm you and drink the poison. What will happen? I'll be dead. But just think, somebody gave me poison and I didn't know it, or I was doing for the glory of God, God will keep me alive.
Amen.
You cannot take any food, any junky food, and pray over it and it will be sanctified. It will not. God says, I know how to heal you, but He tells you how to be healthy. So, in short, what I was trying to say, St. Paul says, God delivered me from all kinds of problems and He will deliver me again. But we cannot do it the wrong way. Same way God says, I will deliver you from all kinds of problems, but you do not get into problems purposely. You understand? If somebody says, I'm going to jump from the building, I want to see if God can protect me. What will happen? You'll be dead. So we have to use God-given wisdom. Okay, let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, start reading from verse 11.
You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf.
Okay, what he's trying to say? How God is helping us? Because of your prayers. He said, God saved me because you prayed for me. And so we should be thanking for your prayers. You know, when I was in India, there were so many people who got healed and delivered through our ministry. They were saying, Pastor Peter, we pray for you all the time. And all the old ladies say, Pastor Peter, I pray for you. I said, I need your prayer. When yesterday that lady called me, she said, Pastor Peter, even though I didn't come to your church, you prayed for me. And when I see my daughter, God healed me and protected me. Even though I go to another church, that's a full gospel church. And I every day pray for your ministry. I say, sister, that's why God has blessed me. Because we need the prayer of the believers. I cannot say, don't pray for me. God is good to me. I don't need your prayer. St. Paul said, no, 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 no. Because of your prayer, because of you praying for me, God delivered me. And so I have to thank you, and I want many other people should thank you what you have done. So as I and my wife, when we sit every day for prayer, we pray for all our church members. We pray for everybody. Why the disaster is happening all around us and why is not happening to us? Because somebody is standing in the gap. Each and every believer start praying, the disaster will go away. When I'm sitting there and some hurricane, wind or something comes, my wife says, pray, 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 please pray. And we pray and so we rebuke the wind. And within a few minutes, calms down, at least in my neighborhood. What I'm trying to say, God answers prayer.
Amen.
And we have to believe that when God's people start praying, things will start happening. Okay, come on, let's finish.
For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you were.
Now he's trying to say, in this world we live, not for physical benefits. We are living for you. Our life is for you. I'm not living for myself. I'm living for Jesus.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say, I'm not worried about dying. I am living for Jesus Christ. So the St. Paul is saying, I'm living in this world. I'm living for you. Verse 13.
For we write not other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second baptism.
I am so glad that I am living in this world for your benefit. Whatever I'm teaching you, or I'm giving you this all kinds of wisdom and knowledge, is not worldly, it's godly. And I'm giving you so you will have benefits. And he said, now I'm coming to you, do you have second benefits? What do you mean second benefits? He said, I'm going to come. Let's read and you'll know. Please read.
And to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way towards Judea.
Now he says second benefits means I'm coming to you, and then I'll go to Macedonia, then I'll come back again, and then I'll go to Judea. So I'm coming twice to you. Now if somebody says, oh, I don't want him coming again because I already gave my tithes, I already gave my offering, now he comes back again, I have to give him back again. He said, oh, don't think like that. When I come to you twice, I am bringing you spiritual blessing twice. That's what it is. He said, that's why I'm coming. And you will have second benefits two times. But I want to come here. And what purpose he was coming? To gather some money, give them the teaching, get some money, and giving that money to the central church in Jerusalem. Okay, let's read verse 17. We're going to finish now, soon.
When I therefore was thus minded, did I use likeness for the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us.
Paul is saying, when we came to you, we did not come to you telling some physical stories or something else. We talked to you what we read in the Bible and what God gave us the wisdom and knowledge, spiritual, that's what we were giving to you. Not only me, but Timothy, Silvanus, everyone came to you. We were not saying something. One time we say something and say, oh, forget that what I told you last time. I'm going to give you a new thing. Means, last time what I said, it was not true. But this time what I'm telling you, that's true. So the person will get confused. Last time you told me the immersion baptism. Today say, oh no, no, immersion baptism is wrong and there is no need of baptism. So people get confused. He said, whatever I taught you from the word of God. Whatever I read, I gave it to you. And I told you the truth. He says, I never said sometime yes and sometime no. I always say yes, yes, and no, no. Means Jesus Christ also said, you can say yes or you can say no. More than that is what? A sin. You cannot lie. So he said, when you're preaching the gospel, you're preaching the truth. And don't mix anything, but preach the pure truth. And that's what he says. And the verse 18 says, but as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay, but was yes. Here, the verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are what? Yes and amen unto the glory of God by us. So what he's trying to say, whatever the promises we told you, we didn't tell you God heals today and God doesn't heal tomorrow. We told you God is alive and we don't say, oh, don't forget that God is alive, God is dead. We don't say something like that. He says, whatever we taught you the truth. Our God is the truth. We're preaching the truth. And he says, what we're preaching, the Son of God, the Jesus Christ, and who was preached among you by us. And not only us, but he says, Silvanus, Timotheus, and everyone preached the same thing. That means we are not preaching anything else. We're preaching about what? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Okay, verse 21 and onwards. We're going to finish.
Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are the helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand.
Now what he's trying to say, Jesus Christ has anointed us and sealed us with the Holy Spirit in our heart. What he's trying to say, we are not here coming our own. We have God's calling. We have anointed by God. We are called by God and we have the Holy Spirit in our heart. So we are working for God. I am not following the man. I am following Jesus Christ. That's why St. Paul is saying, he has anointed us, he has sealed us, and we are here to help you, the Church of Corinth. We are not coming here to just take the offering. That's what he's trying to say. When I'm coming to you, I'm giving something, spiritual matter. When I'm giving you spiritually, then I'm asking something physically, not for me, for the church in Jerusalem or Judea. And so he said, the words 24, he says, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. He says, we are not telling you that faith is given by us or we can rule your life. He says, no, we are helping you to make you more happy and joyful. So your life is belong to God and the faith is given by God. And so you stand in that God's faith. Don't trust us. Trust in God. Because God is the one gives you faith. So in short, what St. Paul is saying, I'm coming to you to give you blessing. And so you trust in God. And don't try to tell us that we are coming there for physical benefits. We are coming there to help you. And you are our joy. And we are your joy. We give you joy, you give us joy. And that's what the Christian life is all about. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to stand for Jesus Christ. Like St. Paul says, God knows our heart and he has the record in heaven, each and everything what we do. So Lord Jesus, let us work for you with the simplicity, with a pure heart, but live for Jesus Christ. When we tell somebody about Jesus and miracles of Jesus, it's not for our benefits, but for their benefits. And let the whole world know that we are here to encourage people to live a Christian life and live it abundantly. The devil is a liar, he is a deceiver, he comes to kill, steal and destroy. But let us tell somebody that Jesus Christ said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. Our God is a good God and we are going to be living for him. And we heard that God knows how to deliver us from all our trials and troubles and our temptations. So Lord, we trust in you. You are the one who holds our future. Yes. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We are not going to be afraid of anything. Because the enemy, the devil, who brings the spirit of fear. Your word says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. Lord Jesus, give us your grace to be healthy. Be strong in spirit and soul and body and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Let us be living witness like St. Paul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.